This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
All right, let's get more on the draft from the woman in the know. She is Mary Kay Cabot, plain dealer in Cleveland.com. She's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So I'm going
Congratulations,
back.
By the way, Mary Kay.
Yes, you called it.
Two running backs, two quarterbacks. Well done.
Right?
Two, yep.
Thank you for remembering. I appreciate that.
Gave you credit for that yesterday.
You called something that hasn't happened in NFL history. Good job. Pretty amazing.
I don't know. I didn't think it would happen in seven picks. I thought when they had 10 picks that they needed two quarterbacks and two running backs. I didn't think it would happen in seven.
Mary Kay, how close to the game plan do you think they were able to execute? I know you have to have different variables on this thing. And if you go back and you look at it up until Shedeur Sanders, I would say that it seemed precision. And then when they drafted Shedeur, that to me kind of put a big mix on everything.
Made you go, wee, that's fun.
I would never do that.
I do think that it went according to plan, and then when Shedeur just continued to fall and tumble down the rabbit hole, they just felt that if they were truly staying true to their board, which they really try to do, that they had to pick that player. They had to trade up to get that player who would provide them with so much value at that pick, as opposed to the alternatives, which would have been to find someone that perhaps could come in and help out on special teams or whatever. So I've said it so many times, take a chance on these quarterbacks. Throw your hat into the ring. See what you can come up with. And if it doesn't necessarily work out for your team, sometimes you can parlay it into a draft pick. So I don't think you can go wrong with this pick. The only aspect of it I think that people can have any issue with at all is sort of the ancillary stuff that comes with it. So we'll have to see how all that goes. But certainly the Cleveland Browns are equipped to handle a lot of controversy, a lot of spotlight, a lot of circus, and whatever else comes along with it.
Mary Kay, I mentioned to the guys in the break a couple breaks ago, I said, all right, I'm being really naive here. We're not going to have to sit there and have Shedeur Sanders be the complete talk of the quarterback competition, are we? And the guys looked at me and laughed. Are we going to have to deal with that? Because they clearly like Dylan Gabriel better because they drafted him two rounds earlier. Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft choice, and Joe Flacco has been a successful veteran. I would think it's a wide-open competition, and the guy that would be the number four guy going in is Shedeur Sanders. Yes?
Well, that's how I see it, and I'm sure that's probably how it will go in the early going. But Shedeur will still probably be the most talked-about quarterback throughout the offseason. And all eyes will be on him, both locally and nationally, just because of who he is and what he represents. So I do think that there will be plenty of Shedeur buzz. Nobody even talked about Dylan Gabriel leading up to this draft. So I don't think he moves the needle necessarily the way that Shedeur does. He doesn't have the lifestyle that Shedeur does or the jewelry or any of those kinds of things either. So we know how this goes. You talk about the guy who is in the spotlight the most, and that will definitely be Shedeur.
I'm still wondering how. I mean, this is definitely going to be a fun training camp. I don't think there's any question about that. And if you like competition, I mean, They just handed it to you on a silver platter. There are days I sit here and I'm trying to figure out who the starting quarterback's going to be, and then there are others I'm like, well, you got two young guys that are really going to have a chance to make an impact if they can look really good. But Mary Kay, you can't tell me everyone's not going to be sitting out there at training camp counting reps.
Well, yes, that will happen. That is definitely going to happen. And this year we are not going to be spending the first 10 days of training camp down at the Greenbrier where you're sort of away from where you are away from all the fans and things like that. This is going to be training camp in Berea. Everyone will be able to see how it's all going, and it'll be interesting to see how they divide up these reps. But if I had to, and I've said this before, we've already talked about this on this show, if the season started tomorrow, I would think that Kenny Pickett would start. And I feel that way because he was the first person the Browns went after when the NFL opened for business in March. And Joe Flacco, even though they're so excited to have him and the fans are excited to have him, was not an afterthought. That's too strong. But they didn't clamor to sign him right away. Even Joe did not think that this was going to happen. So it's not like they had him in their sights from the jump. They had Kenny in their sights from the jump. They had Dylan definitely on their radar right from the start and throughout the pre-draft process. So I just, if I had to make a guess right now, I'm saying Kenny for right now.
I agree with you. Yesterday we threw out 60% Kenny, 20% Joe, 10% each of the rookies. I think that might be fair. And in all seriousness, you've got four guys, three of whom you're going to find out maybe could this guy be the answer at quarterback for 3 to 5 years. Joe Flacco certainly isn't, but that doesn't mean he couldn't start. I just wonder, Mary Kay, do you think that the guy who could be the quarterback for 3 to 5 years is here right now, or is this just like, hey, let's have a quarterback this year and then we move on next year?
Well, that's what they're set up for, and that's, you know, good for them for having the foresight to look into next year's draft and see that they like that class better, and that if you're looking for your franchise quarterback, that you just might find him there. But it's incumbent upon this current crop of quarterbacks to rise to the occasion and for someone to step up and to seize the moment and say, nope, I'm not letting that happen. This job is mine. And I think the competition will bring out the best in everyone, and I think you're going to see some really interesting things. I think you guys are going to really like Dylan Gabriel. He's a very confident young man. There's a lot to like about Dylan Gabriel. I spent a little time talking to him at the Senior Bowl, getting to know him just a little bit. You know, when you're there for 3 days, you get to watch these guys practice. You see them interact. You go to media day. And there really is something kind of special about this young man. And I think Browns fans are really going to like him. I think he's going to come in here with a mission, just like the rest of them, to win this starting job. And I would not put it past him to make this quite the competition.
I had the chance to watch Nick Chubb jumping hurdles or whatever was jumping in there. Man, he looks strong again. Is there any chance we're going to see him on the roster?
Yeah, I would not completely slam the door shut on Nick Chubb. I think they have to see what happens over the next few weeks and months. And I think it kind of comes down to, in some respects, what happens with Jerome Ford. He's heading into the last year of his contract. And now, of course, they have Quinshon and they have Dylan. And so I guess they would have to decide, do they maybe try to trade Jerome Ford, or what do they want to do with him? And if he's not on the team anymore, then I think it opens the door for Nick Chubb. So I think that's the one to watch. I wrote about that yesterday, and I think that's how it will probably go.
That's a good piece that you wrote yesterday. I enjoyed it. Can I bring up our least favorite subject?
Sure.
You know what it is. I know what it is. It's wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Yeah. They didn't draft anybody. They didn't sign anybody early. They didn't trade for anybody. Deontay Johnson, why not? He's one of the few guys left, so I understand the signing of him. You just mentioned what I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen. Jerome Ford, Greg Newsom, somebody else traded for a wide receiver. Do you think that that's something that could happen? Is that likely? Or, Mary Kay, are they so going to be a running team this year that they think they have enough at wide receiver that they're okay?
Well, I still think that they will look to add a wide receiver or two, and one of those wide receivers could end up being Elijah Moore. There is the chance that he could end up back here. And in the event that he does, I think that they would probably feel pretty well set at the position, given that, as you mentioned, they're moving back towards the Kevin Stefanski offense, which will rely more on 12 personnel and 13 personnel. And what I mean by that are two tight ends and three tight ends, more of a running game. And, you know, you don't necessarily see as many three wides out there. But I still think they need a couple more. And you're right. I mean, if they could make some kind of a trade to acquire a wide receiver, whether that involves Jerome Ford or not, I'm not sure. But I still think that they could probably bring one or two more in here.
Can we go back to the Shedeur Sanders pick here? Just the video that was played, you know, by the network after after the pick, where nobody has a phone in their hand, by the way, and so they knew it was kind of coming. And by the way, also it was the fifth round. I kind of think that story got blown out of proportion because I don't know, from a television standpoint, if you're not showing live action, are you really kind of telling the truth there? I don't know. Just what was your play on that? I thought it was a great question, though, because when I saw the video immediately, I thought the question that you asked in the press conference, like, so great job on the question. I just then, from my television background, I started thinking, maybe this isn't right. What do you think now?
Well, those guys said that their reaction didn't necessarily match up. And a lot of times what happens is they had already gone through perhaps the, you know, the phone call and the emotion and things like that. But what we saw there didn't necessarily match up with their reaction to how that all went down. So I will take them at their word for that. But the thing that that I always try to clear up is the fact that people like to keep perpetuating the narrative that Jimmy Haslam is calling the shots on this football team. And that's just not true. It's just not true. He's involved with things, but he's not calling the shots. This was an Andrew Berry-driven decision, just like Deshaun Watson was an Andrew Berry-driven decision. Again, Jimmy had to come through with the money on that and the full guarantee on that, but he didn't come up with the idea of acquiring Deshaun Watson. He didn't come up with the idea of trading up to get Shedeur. This is Andrew's draft. He's got final say, and Jimmy lets them do their jobs.
But the buck stops with him at the end of the day. I mean, whether Andrew Andrew plants the seed and then Jimmy's got to water the plant.
Ownership always has to say yes to writing those checks.
I don't think that's even the way it goes. I mean, in the Deshaun Watson situation, in order for them to make that happen, he had to be on board with, or even perhaps come up with, the notion of doing the unprecedented full guarantee. So he had to get involved with that from the money side. But it's not like Andrew comes up with an idea and then Jimmy says yay or nay. No, Andrew has jurisdiction over this roster and these football moves. And I think that there's just a narrative out there that Jimmy is calling way more shots than he really is. It's not like that.
What did you think about the trade down followed by selecting two defensive players with the top two picks?
Well, I liked the trade down. I did like the trade down in this case because they got so much for it. All they had to do was move back three spots. Now, if they were going down to 18 or 19 or something like that, then maybe you should have more of a problem with this. But all they did was move back three spots, still pick up a premium player at a premium position who everyone thought was a top five pick. Then they got two picks, one in the second, one in the fourth, that helped them completely transform their running game. And now they still have a first-round pick next year that they can maybe package with their other first-round pick to trade up to get perhaps their franchise quarterback. So I think when you put all of that up against Travis Hunter, I think in the end it probably should go in the Browns' favor as long as the picks turn out the way that they expect that they will. So I did not have a problem with the trade whatsoever. And it'll be interesting to watch this over the next 3 to 5 years. And then as far as defense, well, that's one to watch. I want to see how this goes. I want to see what Carson is all about. They rave about him. They love him. They just talk about what an amazing football player he is. And that was a position that they really needed to address. And if they didn't get him there, they weren't getting him. And that was the guy they wanted. So sometimes you just have to do what you have to do in the moment.
Mary Kay, how much does culture play into making a pick? And the I don't know, the psychological part of the guys that they end up bringing in and what, how they can contribute in the locker room and on the field?
I think it plays a big part. And I think maybe that's why they didn't necessarily have Shador ranked higher than some of these other guys. Maybe after they spent enough time with him, they felt that perhaps maybe he wasn't exactly their face of the franchise kind of guy. I don't know that for sure, but I know that culture and personality and those kinds of things are vitally important, especially at the quarterback position. So I do think that it's huge for them.
I sit here and I can't wait to see what this looks like on the field. I think it's going to be great fun. I'm really curious. To me, Mary Kay, it felt like this draft was trying to make sure that you gave Kevin Stefanski a similar type of team to what he's had in the past, as opposed to maybe trying to tailor some things for Deshaun Watson last year. And, you know, you draft defensive players. Jim Schwartz is happy. Defense was really good in 2023, and that worked. And then you bring in two running backs, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. You've got your new version of that. I don't mind what they did at all. In fact, I think based on what they have done in the past, certainly better than what they did last year. And so maybe they're back, the plan's back on path. Does that make any sense?
Well, I would say this, that at least for this year, they are going back to more of the Kevin Stefanski offense. I don't think that has to be written in stone as you move forward, because if you find yourself a dual threat quarterback next year that you really like, then you might find yourself wanting to switch things up to go in that direction. And I think they will be ready to pivot in that way. So I don't think that this is necessarily a referendum on that kind of an offense for the long-term future. But for this year, I think they really firmly believe that in order for them to get back to winning, that they needed to kind of go back to walking before they could run. And we'll have to see how it all plays out.
Mary Kay, last question for me. When you look at the story that came out about the fact that the Browns had pretty much consummated this deal to move out of the number two spot to go to five on April 7th, depending on what happened to Cam Ward, and go back at that and look at it from the perspective of being on the other side of the deals, what'd you think of that? Because, again, I thought Andrew Berry did a great job of making sure no one had information when the draft happened. Because, I don't know that I heard it until Rich Eisen said it on NFL Network that trade was going to happen. Even, I mean, people may have said, well, they're going to trade back, but never, not with the specifics that happened and the way that Andrew was able to stop that from leaking.
Yeah, I mean, on draft day, I think I was doing a pretty good job of being sort of out in front a little bit on letting people know that this was going to happen, and I knew more about it than I was really able to let out there. But so I wasn't as maybe surprised as other people about it. Mm-hmm. But Andrew did tell us in his press conference that this had been in the works for 2 weeks. So he told us that, you know, from his own mouth. So we didn't have to wait for Mike Silver to tell us that, because Andrew told us that. So we did know that, and I wasn't as surprised as some other people that this trade happened.
Even if he said it on the stage, it's just more about the fact that they were able to kind of, that no one really knew. But I mean, until like the very end. I mean, if it really did happen on April 7th, I mean, I give them credit for being able to make sure that, you know, noise didn't get out there and that they could control the message.
Yeah, they did a great job with that, and so did the Jaguars. Nobody nobody leaked it. Nobody got it out there, and that is really, really highly unusual to keep something like that under wraps for that long. And I think that they played it so close to the vest that I don't even know that very many people in the organization knew that it was going to happen until draft day.
That's interesting. Mary Kay, thank you, thank you, thank you. We always appreciate it. Of course, you know we're reading you every day in the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I can't disagree with her. I think she's right.
Mary Kay Cabot. Yeah.
Mary Kay Cabot just joined us. If you missed any of the interview, it's on the Odyssey app, the Odyssey.com, if you want to go online to catch that. 216-474-0092. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with
it?
I'm trying to figure out what the depth chart is right now, and I'm wondering what it's going to look like week one of the season. Again, that's if they're all healthy, right? If they're all healthy.
Pickett, Flacco, and then whichever rookie looks the best.
Teams don't carry three quarterbacks sometimes.
This one will.
We're going to be carrying five, one on the IR, too, if that's the case.
True.
I kind of feel like at some point late in training camp, if they don't think things are going right with Pickett, they'll trade him, or Flacco will get traded, or maybe Gabriel or Sanders. I mean, one of the four might get traded.
I would think that the guy who gets traded is not one of the rookies. I would think that you're going to give each one of those guys a year to figure out if they can become your guy. I mean, Andy, stranger things have happened.
Oh, I know.
You know? I mean,
know.
And they clearly like Dylan Gabriel more than Shedeur. Not necessarily as a player, but as a total package.
Okay.
You know what I mean by that?
Well, first you said as a player. I would say as a player because look where they drafted the two guys.
Well, that would make sense.
Although
I think more factors into that.
Yeah, I think the Sanders thing's an enigma on where he got drafted.
Might be. Let's put it this way. The draft grades and, you know, everybody talking about all that stuff, keep this in mind. Shedeur Sanders had the same, whatever this is worth, the same NFL.com, and they do extensive draft profiles, the same grade as Kenny Pickett.
Hmm.
So, you know, Pickett was a first-round pick in a bad quarterback thing, and apparently Shedeur was the same thing, but with more that teams didn't want to deal with. And the Browns decided to deal with it. And yeah, I know I'm being naive, hoping that when this thing all gets going and they're all out on the field, that the focus isn't on Shedeur. And I know I'm being naive when I hope that. It probably will be. If Dylan Gabriel goes to rookie camp coming up next week and just flat out destroys him, that might change some things. If Shedeur goes to rookie camp and flat out destroys Dylan Gabriel, okay, I honestly think that rookie camp's going to be a big deal for those two guys. Really is, I think. Which guy comes in ready to go? Which guy comes in, looks really good right from the jump? Whoever that guy is has a huge leg up, Andy, I think.
All right, so give me your four in order then.
Oh, it's easy.
Okay.
Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders.
Yeah, I have it written down exactly the same way. Although, the season could start. The only thing I don't see backwards there is Pickett being the fourth quarterback. I don't see that as a scenario. I would see Gabriel or Sanders. One of them could be one, and one of them could be four. And Pickett could be three. I there's still a part of me that wonders that if Flacco sees that there probably is no opportunity to have at least a path to playing time, I think he could retire. I there's a part of me
said
that
he doesn't want to retire.
I know.
Said he wants to play.
I know. But there's also something when you get to the office and you see the way the office looks, and it might look a little different than you expected.
But if you think you're good and you think you can still play, and I don't mean good as in you're a good quarterback, you think you're good to go, I would think that Flacco would have a relationship with his front office where he could go in and say, hey, guys, can you trade me?
Yeah,
I would think so, too. Can you release
me? Yeah.
Can you do one or the other? Except for one thing, Andy.
He's here.
Well, he's here, and if you're the Browns, you signed him for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, if you went into this season and your quarterbacks were Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel, in whatever order, how would you feel? Flacco is the extreme security blanket here. Joe is the only security blanket here. Pickett's not. You know, I honestly hope Kenny Pickett comes in and is really good. That's the guy I'm pulling for, because I think right now he's the most viable option to be the starting quarterback of this team for a while. And if he goes, he's the guy who could have the Sam Darnold year. He's the guy who could have, going way back, the Rich Gannon year. He's that guy. Or maybe Dylan Gabriel pulls a Russell Wilson, goes into training camp, and flat out beats out Matt Flynn. Dylan Gabriel comes in and beats out Kenny Pickett. I mean, couldn't that be the case? Or maybe Shedeur Sanders is that guy. I just don't think the starting quarterback of this team is Joe Flacco.
I still have trouble swallowing this pill. Like, Joe Flacco, they said goodbye to Joe Flacco last year because they didn't want to kind of feel the heat. They wanted to give Deshaun every moment to take the plane and get it off the runway without any interference. And when they brought Sanders in, it's they take that away from everything. Like, if they, even if they want to start Pickett and or start Flacco or start Gabriel week one, and Sanders is suddenly on the bench, no matter what Pickett, Flacco, or Gabriel does, they would find fault somewhere, fans will, to say, why are we not seeing Sanders? Why are we not seeing Sanders? And then people will turn around and go, well, he's a fifth-round pick. That's what they're going to have to say. So maybe that's the benefit of picking him in the fifth round, because if they – let's just say they switch Gabriel and Sanders on this, right? Which easily you could have said that when you looked at the draft before it happened. Oh, yeah, they're totally – they're going to take Shedeur Sanders before they'll take Dylan Gabriel. That totally makes sense. And I just – I wonder if they were so scared to have the pressure of having Flacco here with Watson, are they – why don't they fear that, you know, moving forward? Is it financial that they don't fear that for – that bringing Sanders in isn't going to have people screaming – bring in Sanders, bring in Sanders. Even if Flacco or Pickett or Gabriel is like throwing for 300 yards a game, people go, oh, well, I don't understand. Why did they draft this guy? Why is he here? And it doesn't matter what the record is or what they're doing on the field. It's the being the backup quarterback is always the biggest thing. And, you know, you brought in a guy that has a heavy media following. I don't know. Is that the right way to put it? Media following, probably, yeah.
I would think the two rookies go into everything that they're going to be doing at rookie camp and beyond, Andy, like this. Does one guy have an edge? Yes, it's Dylan Gabriel. By how much? I would say 51% to 49% for Shedeur Sanders. You have two rookies who are going to go in and compete for a spot. And I think they're going to hang on to both of them. I'd be surprised if they're both not with the organization once the season starts. But they're both here. They're just going to go in and compete. I mean, because Dylan was a third-round pick, slight edge. But if Shedeur goes in and just looks better, that's the end of the story right there.
Yeah. All right, let's get more info on this. I know if you're on the line, hang on, 216-474-0092. Gary Barnett, Colorado color commentator, former head coach. He's going to give us a little bit more lowdown on Shedeur Sanders. That's next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's get some perspective on what the Browns did in the draft, and we turn to a man in the know, especially when it comes to Colorado football. Always enjoyed watching him at Northwestern, at Colorado, and right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. It is Gary Barnett. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Hi, Gary.
Doing well, guys. Good morning in Cleveland.
Good morning to you.
We think it is.
It's cool if I call you Coach, right? That's how I see you. I'll always respect you as being a coach, just so you know that.
Sure, thanks. Whatever you want to call me.
All right, GB.
So, there you go.
What was it like in Colorado as Shedeur didn't go in the first, second, third, fourth rounds. It was weird. It became the national story, Gary.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, Shadur is a product of what college football is right now. And that is a player-run and controlled situation. And, you know, the players call the shots. They leave when they want to leave. They demand a certain amount of money. They don't practice if they don't want to practice. Mm. They don't, you know, I mean, he's coming from an environment. And it's not his fault, but the combination of the environment that he's been in for 4 years, along with his family environment, you know, he just didn't understand what that situation was really like. And, you know, he felt, I don't want to say he fell victim to it, but he certainly has learned a lot in this process, I'm sure. But everybody was, you know, I was feeling phone calls right and left, what's going on. And, of course, the rumors were flying around. They had bad interviews. And he probably did, because I think he felt like he was in control of the interview. And he only wanted certain places he wanted to go, and he treated it that way. He didn't realize he was not in control in this situation.
Hmm. And so were you buying the reports that maybe he had interviewed poorly with teams?
Yeah, I could see that. You know, he's got a confidence level that crosses the line to cocky and maybe obnoxious every once in a while. Hmm. But he's, you know, basically, he's a good, bright kid. And, you know, understand, he's a four-year player. This isn't, and there's a difference. I mean, I was in the college level for a long time, and there's a difference between a fourth-year player and a fifth-year player in maturity. And so he's a four-year player there. Nobody's thrown that in. I haven't heard that from anybody. But it does make a difference.
So now, after everything that happened, he's here in Cleveland. Rookie minicamp's coming up. How does he compete against a guy like Dylan Gabriel, who the Browns, whatever reason, Gary, they like the total package of Dylan Gabriel better because they took him two rounds higher. Kenny Pickett, who was a former first-round pick, had minimal success in Pittsburgh last year with the Eagles, and Joe Flacco, who's 40. They need a starting quarterback, and I would think each one of those guys has a chance. If you're Shadur, how do you approach this?
Well, I would think so, too. And I think Shadur's just got to go to work. He's got to prove himself right now. Don't prove them wrong. Prove yourself right here. And be everything that you claim to be. You know, he's always referring to the work he puts in. He's always referring to the understanding of the offense. He's always referring to his conversations with coaches. Well, now, that's what he's got to do. He's got to go do that at an even higher level. And, you know, again, like I said, he's only a fourth-year player, so he's got some maturing to do. And he certainly has the skills and ability. You know, I was around this kid for 2 years, and 94 sacks, and you can say he held the ball too long, but let me tell you, the biggest rushing year for any back when he was there was 300 yards. He had no running game, no offensive line, no tight end. I mean, so pretty much we were whatever Shadur could manufacture in that situation. So you know what? He's just got to go in and sort of treat this the same way. He's got to go manufacture his position.
This is strictly a coach's question, too. It's like, you know, his dad was his coach in college, right? His dad was also his coach in high school. I'm wondering what that separation is going to be like for him, not having, you know, your dad in the know on everything. How does that play out, and how will he transition with that?
Well, he's been coached the last 2 years by Pat Shurmur, who's an NFL veteran guy. Mm-hmm. And he's NFL all the way. And so he's had that going for him for the last 2 years, and especially all of this past season. And Pat's a pretty low-key guy. And, I think Pat, for the most part, raves about this kid. And his whole temperament sort of seems heroic, given his situation there in Boulder with the people around him. But he has had that. You know, and so I think that's going to help. And I think if he's wise, he'll go talk to Pat about this whole thing a little further. So I'm interested to talk to Pat and see what kind of conversations they've had since. So, but he's got a really good friend there that's been there, done that at every level, and he'd be remiss if he didn't take advantage of that.
Gary Barnett joining us, former head coach at Northwestern Colorado, a Colorado color commentator. Gary, you saw Travis Hunter for 2 years do a lot of great things on the football field. Browns got an absolute haul in trading the second pick, but they don't have Travis Hunter. Is it a mistake? Should the Browns have taken him? What do you think?
I don't think we know that till down the road a little bit. But Travis Hunter is a unicorn, guys. The first time I ever laid eyes on him, first of all, I got all the practice tape, and I live in Arizona. So when they were going through spring ball, Deion didn't put numbers on the players. And so I didn't know who I was watching, except one guy. There was one guy I knew who it was because he stood out on every play. And, over 2 years calling his games, three times I saw him intercept passes in man coverage when the ball was thrown to another man. And he just had done enough route reading, had the instincts, that he goes over and picks off somebody else's pass. So he's just crazy good and crazy skilled. And, he's as humble as Shadur is cocky.
That's a good way to put it.
It's nice, yeah.
All right, let me just go because this is our last question here. Just Shadur Sanders will be successful in the NFL if he does what, Coach?
If he buys in to the humility piece that he's got to acquire, and he's got the tools to do it.
Outstanding. Gary Barnett, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Always enjoy your work as well. So thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Gary Barnett, former coach of Colorado, was at Northwestern and has also worked television. He's a color analyst for the Buffaloes at Colorado now. So, and he knows both those guys so well and understands it. So I thought that was interesting, the last point that he made.